Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Well, guys, welcome to another DL Gaming Podcast. Flopsy, Enders, Bobby Digital, you know the deal. We're going to do a little question the news again this time. I will go first since I'm the one talking. WoW just announced their new expansion that's coming out. This is kind of crazy because their last expansion came out like 9 months ago or something.
Yeah.
But their subscribers are way down. I think I read somewhere as of August 4th, they're down to 5.6 million, which is super low for
them.
For yeah. World
it's
Warcraft.
It's amazing for anybody else.
Well,
and every time they come out with a new expansion, that's an automatic boost in numbers for them. So this is just a response to that, I'm assuming.
It must be, because 5.6 million would, for most any game, would be amazing.
Yeah.
But this game, they're like in probably crisis mode for them.
Yeah.
I think this last expansion, this most recent expansion, did a bunch of stuff right.
It was generally received as a good
game. The problem is,
good game, right?
With the whole garrison that they put in, people are just spending all their time doing garrison stuff. It's not right. An MMO anymore. Like, people are just doing their own garrison
thing. They're playing The Sims?
It turned into a Sims. That's why I stopped playing. I didn't want to log on and have to do garrison stuff every day. So I just got...
But initially,
The leveling up... It was awesome.
Right.
They did a lot of cool things with it. So anyways, they're doing a new expansion. It's called the World of Warcraft Legion. It's going to bring back the Burning Legion. Illidan's going to make a return, which I'm kind of excited about.
Are those the red orcs? I don't know. I don't follow.
The Burning Legion?
Yeah, Burning Legion is the... If I remember my World of Warcraft lore, the Burning Legion is the Demon Legion. Like, it's not the orcs. It's okay. The ones that got the orcs to work for them.
Okay.
Now, I heard you can play as Illidan in this next one.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe individual quests you can, but they are introducing a new the Demon Hunter class.
Oh, yeah, Demon Hunter.
And I haven't played WoW in a while, but I'm actually really excited because the last class that came out was the Monk class, which was fun, but the Demon Hunter class just seems really cool. Like, you know, you get to basically
play. Is it a play class?
No, it's not. That they've announced that there's only two specs. There's a DPS spec and a tanking spec. But I think it's like a dual bladed one.
Cool. Yeah, this totally seems just like, well, our numbers are down. We got to throw out some kind of information to make us relevant again. Get us in the news.
Exactly.
So that's basically all this was. They probably weren't going to announce it, but since that the report came out where their numbers were so far down, and they're like, hey guys, we're still cool. Check this out. And that's pretty much what it was. Or that's what it felt like.
Anyway, yeah, to me. It really did. And they've even said that they already have their next expansion planned. Like, they've already...
After this one?
Yeah, they've already...
Jeez, just make a new MMO at this point, man.
Well, people have invested so much time and energy into the tunes that they have.
And we've also said that I think MMOs have had their time, right?
I disagree with you on that. I think MMOs are
maybe
here
the last
to stay.
One, the last good one in the last 3 years.
Well, have 5.6 million still playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Play or get on and chat with their friends.
Well, I think here's the deal. Like, you had 12 million MMO players playing one MMO. It's not like a first-person shooter where you can play three... I mean, some people do, I'm sure. Yeah. But you kind of have to devote your time and energy into one. And so if most of the MMO player base was playing one MMO, you just... All the other ones failed.
It's kind of like TF2. There's no reason for a TF3. Like, it's pretty enough. Warcraft is just pretty enough that, like, you know, it works. It works really well.
Yeah.
So maybe there isn't a reason for another one.
So the level class is going up to 110. There's, you know, new PvP stuff, new PvE stuff, a whole bunch of stuff going on. But one of the things that I found interesting is they're doing these artifact weapons. And so basically, you can get an artifact weapon for each spec in each class. So you have a specific artifact weapon for feral druids, as opposed to boomkin druids or whatever.
Right.
So,
boomkin, that's funny.
I'm kind of happy about this because they're cool, but at the same time, it's like I feel getting gear is kind of the pinata, the thing that you kind of want to do. So if your like most important item, your weapon, is taken up by this artifact, does it take away from raiding and does it take away from doing dungeons?
Well, I'm sure it's better than most weapons, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, yeah. So you're not looking for loot on that.
You're not, yeah, once you get that.
Yeah, and that's the most important piece of loot.
Is weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, there's a lot of slots.
So, this leads to my actual question. Sorry, that was kind of a long build up to it.
God,
what is the one piece of gear or whatever that you were the most excited about getting in any game that you've ever played? Because I remember you back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day with your sod that you had, that you were so excited about in EverQuest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually didn't think of one for myself. I was just curious what you guys, if you guys had one.
I would say, sod, what did that stand for?
Scepter of Destruction.
Yeah, Scepter of Destruction. That was pretty sweet. It was this weapon that was going for $700 each on eBay at the time. It was a one-handed wand, basically. And it was a bashing weapon. But anyway, it wasn't very strong, but it could proc, aka like cast a spell randomly, and that spell would do something like 500 damage. The trick about this thing was that it could proc. Oh, any, there was no level cap, so you could equip one at level one, and 500 damage is a lot of damage. Most things there have about 30 damage. Level one stuff has about 30 health, so you would just fight until you proc, and then
this is EverQuest, by the way, guys.
Yeah, this is EverQuest.
The original EverQuest.
So my buddy, you know, it used to be a really good weapon, but then things fall by the wayside. And my buddy had two of them in his, in the guild bank. He's like, here, do you want them to power level? I was like, yeah, I'm dual wielding $700 weapons. And
this is before there was such a thing as soulbound.
Yeah. You could just trade things around. And, yeah, I was just blowing up the forest, like, because there's a big, like, visual effect when it went off. And there's nobody's casting spells at level one. It's just a bunch of like trolls in the swamp. And I'm lighting up the night with fucking boom, boom, boom. It's pretty sweet. And then, we ended up selling one of them or something. Bob?
You never really see expensive items in games anymore. Mm.
Oh, and to that thing, the number one weapon or item was a belt in EverQuest. It was called the Black Silken Sash. It was good because it gave you 15% speed. I mean, that's what the numbers, man. The numbers are so crazy. But that was the number one item in the game. So right before the first expansion came out, nobody even knew what an expansion entailed, really. EverQuest, you know, it was so early on.
Yeah.
We didn't know that all our weapons were going to be dog shit, right? So right before that expansion went out, a friend of a friend bought the Black Silken Sash for $1,700. And then the expansion came out and everything was obsolete. Like everything. like two levels into the expansion, you're already getting better shit than the best shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Which now we know.
But nobody really knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Bobby? Lesson. What's the best drop or the drop you've been most excited about in any game?
Probably had to be a one-handed mace I had in World of Warcraft. I had a paladin that I had leveled up. Most of my characters were designed just to play in Battlegrounds, which was the PvP mode in WoW. And at level 39, I had a paladin that was tanky as shit, and I would use it to flag run in Warsong Gulch. And it was almost like a troll build because this guy would not fucking die. And I would have the whole team just on top of me chasing me around. It was like the Benny Hill show. But I got this.
But you couldn't kill anybody either.
No.
No. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome. And you telling me though, had I found you in that.
Yeah.
Fucking, I would be you. So yeah. Fucking mad yeah. with you. Yeah.
Well, I had a level 29 hunter. God, and he used to tear shit up. Me and a, what's that healer druid? Me and a druid.
Resto druid?
Yeah, Resto Druid used to go in there and like he'd just keep me healed up and I would just shred. And there was a trick in Arathi Basin where you could climb the wall and get on the roof of the capture point over by the horde. And I used to do that and jump around on the roof and just mow people down. Yeah, we used to have a lot of fun in that game. But the problem was you had to spend so much time just getting to that point. Like you would have to go into these low-level dungeons with your high level. You'd go into a low-level dungeon, wipe it out, right. Hope you get the drop, nothing. Okay, go out, let it reset, go back in, clear the dungeon again. Like all that shit. Or you could try to find it in the auction house, but the odds weren't that great and you'd be paying a lot. But
that was a big thing for a while, Twinks and all. I mean, it still is. They called them Twinks.
Yeah. What was the what is the dungeon that it's not it's Black Rock Mountain, but it's the one that nobody does. It's the one with
there's Upper Black Rock Spire and Lower Black Rock Spire.
Yeah, I guess the one with all the
like, LD
that one.
LBDS.
Yeah, yeah. I used to go in there and
LBRS. Yeah,
I used to clear that thing out for I don't know. I think I was trying to get a mace as well. I just clear that thing over and over and over because I had a twink coming up as well. I was trying to make a stun troll, so I got him 2 stun maces.
Oh, gotcha.
But that took a long time. I mean, so many hours. How many hours did we throw away, guys? Yeah. We're clearing out dungeons by ourselves. That takes time.
Yeah. I checked sort of recently. I might have brought this up on a previous podcast, but I think my main tune on WoW has close to 200 days played. And so that counts 24 hours of playtime as a day played. So 200.
You're well over a year played in WoW then, right?
Like altogether?
Altogether.
Yeah.
It has to be.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And that's not even.
That's played. That's sitting.
But if you think about it, that's like nowhere near. Like, people probably have 800 days played. Like I'm like nowhere near the top.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm just a normal player. I played my main tune more than I played...
Mid? You're probably in the middle?
Yeah, maybe in the middle. Because I played since the original WoW.
Yeah.
So.
Goddamn, that's a lot of time.
All right, what's your guys' news?
I just saved mine. Oh, Bob, go ahead.
All right. There's been a lot of news about Gigantic, Battleborn, Overwatch. Three games.
Fuck you, dude. That's exactly my thing that I was going to get into. Let's see what you say.
All right.
So funny.
Yeah, we probably should have checked this beforehand.
I did.
But, three games that look very similar coming out. Which one are you most excited for?
What were the three? Gigantic, Overwatch, and what was the third one?
Battleborn by Gearbox.
Oh, Battleborn.
So we're looking at first-person shooter MOBAs.
Is Overwatch considered a MOBA? I thought...
We don't have a name for this, guys. Whatever it is, I bring it up all the time. There's no name for it.
But
I call them arena shooters, but that's not what they are.
No, it's not an arena shooter. Arena shooter is just like a deathmatch. Just, who can get
the skills. So let's get a name for it.
Does Overwatch have an... Is it objective-based at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. There's okay.
Like, it's like TF2. Everything's reverting back to TF2 is what's happening, basically.
Well, because Gigantic isn't like TF2.
I view it more like... Well, does Overwatch have minions and lanes?
I don't think so.
No, but neither does Gigantic.
It. Okay.
Gigantic has capture points. They've got capture points that and you can then take minion. Over.
There's only one.
Right. It's class-based, like objective-based shooters.
Yeah. Okay. I will tell you right now, it's Overwatch.
Yeah, and that's Overwatch for me as well.
Just because it's Blizzard.
It's Blizzard, and they put out a good product.
They know what they're doing.
And it's in the news later on, but they say that the beta is going to start in fall. So hopefully we can get in that.
Yeah. Cool.
It's already showing up in the Battle.net client.
Yes, it is.
Have you seen people play?
No.
Oh, it's really cool.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really, really cool.
How about you, Bobby, by the way?
Definitely Overwatch. I mean, for the same exact reason as Blizzard. I mean, they do games right. I love their game design. And it looks like there's 16 playable characters at this point. I haven't seen too much of the gameplay, but... I just have faith in Blizzard. I haven't seen that much of Gigantic and Battleborn. I mean, Gearbox, they usually do a pretty good job. I mean, that's a good studio. But
I've played it also.
Gigantic or Battleborn?
Both.
All of both, yeah.
We Emilio and I are in the alpha for Gigantic, so we've been playing it, but we can't talk about it because of the NDA.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like Gigantic better.
Yeah.
From those two.
Yeah, for sure. Really Gigantic, cool. Gigantic is awesome so far.
So my thing was that because we're done, right? on that? Choice, Bob. I would say, I was going to say, so all these games are coming out, and there's more. There's more than just these. I can't think of any of the other ones, but there's like two more.
Supernova, what was the one that you just had me sign up for? Because I immediately got into that one. There's a space one that you said, hey,
sign up. Yeah, I think that's Supernova.
So really? I'm in that. Oh, okay. I got the client installed.
So anyway.
That's a straight
What are we talking about here? Are we talking about a copycat industry where this is where things are going? Or is it a parallel thinking where it just so happens that the current state of games and the games that are out and what people enjoy, the natural progression of Logic has sent all the, because there isn't one out that's killing it and they're all following suit. They're, it's not a proven model. There's not even one out yet, but they're all coming. I feel like there was a race that nobody knew was happening, and it just so happened everybody entered. You know what I mean? It's really strange. So I think it's parallel thinking. I don't think somebody was like, hey, let's make, Bosky is making theirs as well. And that's Cliffy B. He's coming out with his as well. And there's not a lot of information about that one, but it's essentially all this. Okay. So how about with this ability shooters? Can we call that?
Sure.
Because they all have abilities and they're
first person. Are they all like leveling up? Do they all have RPG elements? Does Overwatch have RPG elements?
Yes. Overwatch, you level up.
Okay.
And then you can pay some XP to change class, I think, how that works. So you can get your guy to level 4 or whatever. Battleborn? No. Battlecry doesn't have progression, I don't think.
Because... to me, honestly, I agree with you. I think it is parallel thinking.
Parallel thinking.
But I think this all stems from the MOBA explosion that happened a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is the progression of the MOBA experience. Like, yeah. Okay, now we have things that... Now it's... Because MOBA was the kind of one of the first kind of genres that to mix PvE and PvP. Like, you have to do both well to succeed in a MOBA. You have to be able to do creeps and last hits and buy your gear and all this stuff. But then you're also playing a PvP element. And I think the next level was to do the same thing without the creeps. You know, now you get, now you're doing some sort of shooter with leveling up. Like, it just seems like a natural progression of the MOBA experience.
I remember Battlefield, Star Wars Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ability shooter. Like, don't get it twisted. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
and that's why it's really fun.
And you know, honestly, Modern Warfare 4 and stuff like that had that too. You know, with the kill streaks and stuff.
Yeah, but they
like,
don't have abilities, right?
Yeah, it's true, but it's still like ways.
It's a natural progression.
Yeah,
people like abilities. Bobby, do you think it was copycat, or do you think it was?
I mean, it might have been a little bit of both. They always they see what works in other games and they try to expound on that and try to take it in new directions. And yeah, I think a lot of influence came from MOBAs and also games like Team Fortress 2 and other shooters. I think of one off the top of my head. But
I mean, when you take a look at it from the outside, you just be like, okay, well, TF2 is still the best multiplayer game ever. And people really like MOBAs. Let's just mix those two, and here we go.
Yeah.
You know what's really going to make it or break it for me is just how they how they handle balancing, how they handle people dropping out, how they handle upgrades. Like, is it going to be pay to win? Shit like that. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that these things could go.
Sure.
I mean, when you have 16 characters, do you unlock all of them? Charge for cosmetics? Do you allow them to buy stim packs, booster? I mean, there's so many different ways of doing it, and if you do it wrong, it just really kills the lifespan of the game.
Look at who did it right. Dota 2. And we can get into the international. All their shit is free. It's crazy. Here's our game. Here's everything you could possibly want to play for free. Here you go. Just go.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Sure.
I enjoy games that have the unlock mechanic.
Something to work for?
One, for that reason. And two... new players who don't know all the characters, they can work on a progression up to it. up to these characters instead of I'm joining a game and now some guy's playing the super hard guy to play because he has no idea what to play, but everything's available to him. You know, like when you first start,
daunting.
It is. And when you first start a game, it would be nice to have, okay, here's the easy guys, play them a bit, and then you earn enough. Now figure out the one guy you want to learn to play. Spend some time, research what you want to do, because you only get to pick one.
Yeah, but if you pick that wrong one, then it can ruin, it could leave a really bad taste in your mouth, and you might end up quitting the game.
True. Which
happens. So, I mean, you also said that there's a way that you can play Dota 2 where you only can get the easy guys, right?
Yeah, so they've got a couple, so just to give you guys some preference, some information, we all watched the International all this week. We watched a lot of Dota, and so I got excited about Dota. I wanted to play, so I sat down to play, downloaded the game, sat down to play, and so I haven't played Dota since we reviewed it. When was that?
By the way, America, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
We took that shit down. Spoilers.
We'll talk about it in a second. But, so I haven't played since we played it for the podcast months ago.
Yeah.
And,
still so complex as shit.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But they have a couple different options on what kind of game you want to play, and one of them it's basically beginner mode, which limits you to like 16 gods that are all like the easy gods to play. You know,
heroes, right? Or legends.
Whatever they're
heroes.
Called.
They call them heroes.
Heroes. So I actually played that one, and I am terrible at the game. I found that out really quickly that controlling the map...
You sound surprised.
I'm not surprised, but I forgot how bad I was. Like, I knew I wasn't good.
Name a mobile you get at.
Well, after watching...
Any second.
Smite. I'm very good at Smite. Like, the best of the three of us. That's my...
I mean, after watching the Internationals, these guys are at the highest level, and they make this shit look easy.
It's crazy.
And then you go to play it, and you're just like, oh my God.
I can't even control the camera, let alone my guy. Like, seriously, how do they control the camera and where they're going?
No, I played a little bit of Dota 2 as well, and I was really struggling with the camera too, and it just seemed really... It almost seemed like when you move the screen around, you know, you move your mouse, and if you move it all the way to the right, then the camera moves to the right. But it seemed to be a little more sticky than Heroes of the Storm.
You can't lock it on your dude?
You can double tap space, and it centers on your guy.
But you can't lock it on him.
I don't think so.
That would be the worst idea ever. You have to move the map around. You need more
information. To look around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the courier... While you're looking at yourself, it would be
could,
nice.
Could you get the courier to work? Because I was just...
Courier.
Yeah, the courier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the courier. Because in Dota 2, you can send a courier to the shop to buy stuff for you, and then it comes back. But that can be killed by the enemy as well. You can get a flying...
Sounded like you said, can you get the courier to work?
No, courier. I just say it funny, apparently. Courier. Yeah.
Courier.
Courier.
Yeah, you can buy the courier, and then you have to select that, and which is odd to me, because I play so much Heroes, you cannot, at all times, no matter what you click on, you are in control of your character. In Dota 2, if you click on your courier, then it's like you become the courier.
Yeah.
All your buttons control...
Or a teammate, control I think. That. Right?
Yeah,
I think you can...
No, if a teammate leaves, that person becomes just another playable character.
No, what I mean is, if you click on a teammate, don't you see their layout?
Basically?
No.
I don't think so.
Fuck that game. I don't like it. I'm glad that we watched it, though. That was really fun.
Dude. Yeah. I watched every single match. Bob watched every single match, right, Bob?
Just about.
Yeah. When you guys were, like, geeking out and talking about, like, what you guys... I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Like, it's basically like you guys watched the whole season of football.
Yeah. And this is probably the best I've seen. I followed pretty closely last year as well. I watched a little bit the year before, but not that much. But this year, it was just such an amazing story. It had CDEC, the wild card, going all the way up.
Through the winner's bracket.
Yeah, to the winner's bracket, working their way through the lower bracket. The North American team won, and fuck, that feels good. I mean, there's been a lot of shit talking about Western Dota players. And China, I mean, this is huge in China. Not so much Korea, but China is known for just having really, a really big Dota 2 scene.
And CDEC is China.
Yeah. And they played excellent. And when they interviewed CDEC after they got into the grand finals, you know, the guy was saying, you know, it's just all about unity. We don't get on each other's case if someone makes a mistake, and we just try to play as a team. And then you have a team like Secret, who I was real happy to see get eliminated. I was pretty against them.
Yeah, you were spitting some hate at Secret.
Well, the thing is, about halfway, originally RTZ and Zai on Team Secret, they were on Evil Geniuses, the North American team, and they didn't do so well at first, and they bailed out. I don't know. I got the feeling they thought they were kind of too good for the rest of the guys, and they... felt that they'd be better off in a different team. So they made their own team, and that became Team Secret. And they have like some of the best players, the highest MMR Dota 2 players on that team. But maybe they just didn't have teamwork. I don't know. Yeah, you can have
got,
a lot of
they got stomped.
Yeah,
is there betting?
There's the compendium.
There's got to be, right?
I don't know.
No, like
actual money betting.
There's a couple of sites that you can actually bet on, and I don't know.
Is perfect for fantasy.
I don't know. That's basically what the compendium does.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
But you only get Dota 2 items from, I think. Is that true, Chad? Mm-hmm. You can only win so. Dota 2
what
items.
If DraftKings next year has like
that would be
Dota
cool.
2? That'd be cool, right?
No, they do have similar ones to that. But I can't remember any of the sites, but there are ones that do that.
Well, after all this, I went back and watched a little bit of the free-to-play documentary, and that seems so dated now. I mean, the prize pool in TI5 was $6.6 million, and I go back to watch the free-to-play documentary, and people
are... That's 6.5. That was the first place pool. The whole pool was 18 million.
Yeah, the whole pool was 18 million. First prize was 6.6 after it was all said and done. But I watched the free-to-play documentary, and they're losing their shit over $1.6 million for first place. And it's just like, God, that dwarfs it now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy how much more money it is and how much more competition there is.
How great is it that our plucky little team that we all agreed that we're rooting for fucking took the whole thing?
Yeah.
Like last week, we sat here and we picked a favorite, and they fucking came out of losers and fought... A team that came out of nowhere and ran through the competition. Mm-hmm. And then you get this like unstoppable Chinese fucking bad guys. And then you got the American like fucking plucky little dudes that came out of nowhere. And they like,
I don't think EG was the underdogs really. I mean, they weren't favored to win.
They were pre-ranked like sixth.
Well, yeah, but they came from losers.
They did. They came from losers.
Yeah.
They beat Complexity, which was the team that I was kind of rooting for because it's got all these Han players.
Yeah.
My like favorite streamer is Moon Meander, and he was on Complexity.
He must be old as shit, right? He's got to be the oldest player.
No, I think Fear. Didn't we say Fear was the oldest one?
Well, that's what's cool about it, too, is Fear is 27 now, and a lot of people say in that free-to-play documentary, like there's a guy that they're interviewing, this Chinese guy, and he's just like... you know, Fear is good. He's really good, but he's not like the Chinese players. You know, and people were saying, you're too old. You know, you can't keep up. Once you get old, you have a lower response time. You know, a lot of people saying that there's an age limit, and here he is, 27, oldest player playing competitively and wins the whole damn thing. So
something to be said for experience. He has more games under his belt than anybody else in the competition.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side, the kind of the star of the show was Samael, who's the mid laner for Evil Geniuses.
Yeah.
And that dude's he started out playing Dota at 8 and
now he's 16.
He's 16.
And he's a professional.
He's been playing Dota half his life.
The world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job of making these matches personal and you know, kind of endearing you to the players. They'll show like a 2-minute vignette of player on each side too. You know, they did one for Samael, kind of gave you his backstory, and then they did one for the opposing team as well. But I really like how they do that. Like it just invests you so much more into the game.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, the whole team is great. Universe, I've been watching him a lot. He's a great support. PPD, a lot of people have been talking about how his drafting is just amazing. The picks and bans. Like, he just knows that shit so well.
Yeah, they picked that, like, Undertaker guy or whatever, the Undead.
Undying.
Which is like, what the fuck? Nobody saw that coming. And it wasn't a strong pick, but it was like...
It was getting picked and banned somewhat regularly, but it was not what they did.
It's not what somebody would call a strong move.
First banning... most people were first banning Lashrak, which was supposed to be, like... the best character of this current meta, and they actually let Lashrak through, and won both times. They let Lashrak through.
Maybe they know how to counter.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm glad we got to see some techies play.
Yeah, techies. That was fun.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's one hero, Bobby. You can.
Well, you know the abilities better than me, but the techies are... Last year during the All-Star game, RTZ chose techies just kind of as a joke, and the crowd fucking loved it. But the techies is. A hero that you can select, and sees two little goblins, and I think
there's three actually.
Oh, there's three of them.
Yeah, Squee, I know the names.
Yeah. Snap, Crackle, Pop?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know their abilities, right, Chad?
Yeah, so they basically can drop mines that become invisible.
Well, you're walking around as three gnomes?
Yeah, but you're one character. They're right, just three right. guys.
Are they crawling all over each other?
No, they're pushing a cart. One guy's pushing the cart, one guy's in the cart, dropping the mines.
And they just got all these bombs and dynamite. And
basically, you're completely useless in a team fight. Mm. Like, you bring nothing to a team fight. But what you can do is you can drop these mines. And they become invisible. So if you don't have observer wards or dust, you can't see these things. Mm-hmm. And if you drop three or four in the same spot, you can just one shot people.
So just walk on that spot
if they hit right. that spot. So basically,
it's like a troll character.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. You can set up these like kind of these traps. And so the whole time the other team's playing, like, you don't bring a lot other than you can push pretty well.
Right.
And you can put these traps. So the whole time in this match, the team was afraid to, like,
move around
a whole lot because you're afraid of hitting one of these traps.
But their ultimate is where they blow themselves
no,
up.
No, that's
right?
not the ultimate.
Oh, that's just
you
a
can use that early on. And nice. in the match with Techies, he actually, you can blow yourself up and it does a ton of damage and it has a reduced cooldown for respawn, but you actually die. You kill yourself. Mm. But they do it to kill the mid laner in the match that Techies was played. And so the mid laner on his team got an advantage because, you know, the guy was dead and he had to respawn.
He got main control.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about, and this is a testament to what a good game Dota 2 is and why it's doing so well. One character can change the aspect of the entire game for everyone.
Yeah.
For all 10 players have to change because Broodmother's there.
Exactly. We saw that one match that Broodmother was almost last picked, and that Broodmother just ran it over because they had the right makeup to let Broodmother just...
Thank God we had Chad there fucking explaining everything. Like, the way you hold all that information, man, for all these different games is amazing. You can't play for shit, but fuck, you can archive.
I'd be a good coach.
So the All-Star match this year, and when they say the All-Star match, they really just bring out all the big name players and they just have fun. You know, it's not like a serious match, but they come out, they send them into the arena, they pit them against each other and they just kind of fuck around. But during that this year, they unveiled the big, what is it? 10 versus 10 mode?
Yeah.
Is that 24, actually.
No, is it 24? What was that?
Yeah, it's 24, yeah.
In Dota 2?
Yeah, in Dota 2. It's 24. Oh. I just read the headline today.
Well, they played 10 versus 10, though, and they also did 10 versus 10.
So it'll be more then. So anyway, but is it on the regular map?
Regular map. This one was on the regular map.
Well, they're going to have their own map for 24 players.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was cool because... They picked their 5 versus 5, and they were getting ready to play. And then their announcer's like, you know, basically came on and was like, "We're gonna do 10 versus 10," and then all the crowd gets excited. And then he's like, "And we're picking the other 10 players from the audience."
Oh,
and so,
right.
Like all the fans were getting up. So they actually picked from the audience the other, like, so these just random guys that in.
Wasn't there a guy that was like in costume?
Oh yeah,
yeah. There was a guy dressed up as Pudge, and he was out in the audience, you know, just kind of goofing around. And then they bring him up on stage, and they pull his mask off, and it's Dendi, who's the Navi player who won it a couple of years ago. Yeah, in the free to play documentary, he's featured heavily.
Why wasn't he playing?
No, he did play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did end up playing him in the All-Star match. But yeah, it was really cool. And they do that the night before the grand finals, and they just have such a solid setup, just so professional. And
yeah,
like, the commentators are so good.
The production is really well done.
I like that it was in the center. I like it better than being on a stage. That's
yeah, and they went face to face. Remember, you know, the free to play documentary? They were in boxes face to face with each other. And this one, they're a little more spread out. And
it's good. It's really good.
Yeah,
they nailed it.
Is amazing.
How crazy is it that we don't give a fuck about Dota all year round, and then this shit happens, and then we're fucking instant fanboys?
Well, esports, if done well, is so exciting. Yeah. It's as good as watching, for me, it's as good as watching a football match.
And you got hooked because you started watching fucking LoL tournament right afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother story. Yeah.
Well, you know, we were saying last week how it didn't look like there were a lot of people in the audience, but by that final day, like they showed some shots of the crowd and it was packed, man. Yeah.
And that one had like, what?
18,000. Yeah.
Which is nothing compared to that League of Legends, right, where you got that giant 80,000 stadium. 80,000
people.
Yeah, that was insane.
That's a soccer stadium, man.
Yeah, that is insane.
I feel bad for like anyone who's not into Dota. I mean, that was just...
This is our 2 weeks that we talk about Dota.
Yeah, and then you'll never hear it again until next year.
Right? Yeah, next year we're going to go crazy again.
Yeah.
But next year, hopefully, I mean, we can get... Because they didn't show it publicly anywhere. So next year, I don't know. If that's the case again, then we should look into hosting something around San Diego.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that.
So if you've made it this far, you survived Dota Talk, and now we can actually talk about other games.
Sure. Sure, I'll get into mine. I fucking fell in love and got addicted, re-addicted to Team Fortress 2. I just looked today. I have close to 900 hours tracked. But there's more than that because I was playing TF2 before they started tracking hours. I had assumed that I'm somewhere around 1,500 hours, 1,500 hours.
Wow.
I play this a lot. And I'm still fucking good as fuck, by the way. Given enough time, I will be on the top regardless. Like, I love that shit that I'm still good. Like, it's like riding a bicycle. Some games you don't play for a while and you start to lose your edge. Smite, if I went Smite right now... Not that I was ever really good, but I'm definitely not going to... This game, for some reason, I could just jump in and climb to the top right away. Anyway, Gunmetal update came out.
A couple weeks ago. It's been out for a while now, too.
Yeah, actually, it didn't... It was like July 2nd or something like that is when it actually... So I heard that it was only 3 months long. I was like, wait, am I way behind the curve? And so I checked it, and I was like, oh, July, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. I got in. It's $6 to activate it. And basically, you get these contracts. And these contracts are like for the sniper, let's say. I'll just give you one example. Get 100 points. All of them is get 100 points. It doesn't matter how you get them. So you could just get points with that character, and you have one of two contracts active. And then once you get to the 100 points, there's 30 bonus points you can get. And I don't know if this is affects your overall progression because you're trying to level up this token that you have. Mine went from like a piece of poop to bronze. And so I don't know if like the extra CP, it's called, made that turn faster or if maybe... Because every time you turn in a contract, you get an item. So maybe the more CP, maybe the higher chance of getting something cool, but I don't know. So half the time it looked like I got chest, half the time I got weapons. The weapons are basically reskins of the originals. So it's kind of like taking a little bit from Counter-Strike, where, you know, people are really into reskins. It doesn't work quite as well, I don't think, in TF2 because there's just not a lot of room to work with. The actual part where you can actually paint on a gun, there's not much there.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not much barrel.
TF2 is such a fast-paced game
that
unless you're sitting in the base waiting for the match to begin, you really aren't noticing the detail in someone's gun.
Yeah, I really couldn't care less. But the actual progression and actually getting there was so much fun because I realized after playing this that what TF2 was lacking was a reason to play other than fun. It's fun as shit. We all agree that TF2 is always fun and it's always sitting there and it's ready to go when you are. But now there's a reason to go have that fun because you're progressing. And fuck, man, I got completely addicted. I was playing 5-6 hours at a time. Had a great fucking time. Three new maps came out. One of them is gorgeous. There's a Japanese one and it's like there's cherry trees and there's like a bunch of things that haven't been used before and it looks really nice, but it's a King of the Hill map, which I'm not into, but that's another thing. Some of the contracts are not for a class, but for a level. So you go, one time I got Turbine, which is a really old, old one, right? And nobody plays that shit. Like when I went in there, it was 2v2, but it makes you go back and appreciate old shit. And, you know, and like, by the end of it, I was like, hey, this is not a half bad map, you know?
Wasn't Turbine on Team Fortress Classic?
Maybe.
I think it was.
I think that was one of the original.
Isn't that with that big thing in the middle that you have to, like, circle around? Is that Turbine? Maybe I'm thinking something else.
Mm.
They're both looking at me like
with the podcast screeching halt by Chad. Anyway, $6. You know, I haven't spent, as much as I love this game, I have not spent much money on it probably ever. The last thing I bought, I can't tell you. I don't even know. So I gave him $6, and then I got these chests. And just today, right before the podcast, I bought keys to open these chests. Got a bunch of bullshit. I got a factory new rocket launcher. That's worth something because there's different grades. You can go from like well-worn, battle-worn, you know, to all the way to like factory new, and that's how shiny it is. And then you can see but again,
do they wear down?
Yeah, they wear down. The thing is, TF2 weapons, again, don't have a lot of barrel to them. It's mostly like trigger and opening, and you know, they're cartoony. Yeah. So there's not much there. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. To me, I don't really care, but, some people might. I really like it. I really recommend it. $6. No reason not to. One downside is I ran out of contracts. Everybody's waiting on new contracts. There's no pyro contract, and there's a lot of levels they could do. So
once you complete a contract, you can't do it over again.
No,
do they just randomly give you? So there's
that's why you do the advanced points then, because you have a limited number.
Oh, so there's a finite amount of contracts.
I didn't know that, but yeah, I ran through them all.
Oh wow,
yeah, and they vary too, man. Like the soldier one took me like 2 hours, but the heavy one I did in one round.
Hmm.
So. Yeah,
the demo was taking you a while too.
Yeah, they ask you to do some funky stuff sometimes.
We talked about this a couple days ago, but we should really do some man versus machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a fun mode. I really enjoy that, and it's hard to get a group together unless you get a tour of duty ticket. You actually pay money to play a round, and you're guaranteed like a good drop at the end of it. The better you do, the better the drop. But you can just play it just for fun. But not a lot of people will do that unless you go in with the group.
Hmm.
So basically, because we plan to go in together, that we don't have to pay? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, you can go in without paying, but your chances of getting in a group, if you like solo queue for that, is very low because nobody plays that.
Oh, gotcha. Mode. I just want the trinkets out of that. Pretty sweet. You have a little robot skull that hangs off of your gun.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, it's really cool.
Nice.
Well, it was my birthday officially today. And Amino bought me a couple games for my birthday. He bought me Black Mesa, which I haven't played yet. What is Black Mesa, though?
It's a reimagining of...
Original Half-Life, right?
Half-Life, yeah.
Yeah, it's really close to the original, but it's not exactly like it. They redid the whole thing. No, but I've read a bit about
it. This is player-created, right? Like, this is a fan-made or whatever?
Community.
Yeah, I think it started out as a mod, and then they just kept redoing it. And they pretty much just reconstructed the entire game.
Okay. So, he got that. I'm excited. I actually haven't played a Half-Life the original since Half-Life the original.
Has everybody here beat that game?
The original?
Yeah.
I never killed that brain thing at the end. The big brain or whatever the last thing is. Spoilers. 20-year-old spoilers.
Yeah, seriously.
But what do you fight at the end?
But seriously, if you've never played Half-Life, what the fuck are you doing listening to a podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why Black Mesa is so great, because Half-Life is so old. Even with the Source...
2, right? Or no,
Source. I don't think they did it on Source 2. Yeah, no, Source. They did it on the original Source when they redid it. And you can go back and play it. But even with that, it still feels like a dated game and it's hard to get through. Black Mesa is such a great idea. It's like, you know, it's like what they did to Grim Fandango. They just completely redid the thing.
Yeah.
It's a shot-for-shot remake in current
Yeah, it brings it up to speed. It's a great way for people to relive it, and it's a great way for people who never had that, because it's an old game, and there's, you know, a lot of people who just weren't around when that game was
current out. Tech, that's what I meant.
Yeah, and it's fucking monumental. I mean, that was... Everybody was playing Half-Life.
Yeah, for sure. It
got me into PC gaming,
I think. It was one of the games that,
Actually, it was EverQuest. But anyway.
The other one that he got me was Reassembly, which I actually put in about an hour's worth, so don't...
Take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, take this with a grain of salt. I'm not thrilled with it so far. It's kind of like it's kind of like an asteroid setup, top down kind of space one, but it's supposed to be heavily into modifying your ship and all. So I haven't gotten into that a whole lot, but I'll tell you more next week when I play it some more.
Hmm.
Cool.
Reassembly. So are you like building your spaceship?
Yeah, like you go around and you kill other ships and it earns you points, and then with those points you buy pieces of your ship, and then you can basically create your ship.
Yeah, that's the game that I think you brought that up when I was talking about Captain Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Bobby, exactly. Have you played a game this week? I don't see anything.
Other than a lot of Heroes of the Storm, like I said, I played a little bit of Dota 2, but we've already done that to death.
Yeah, fucking David messaged me. Hey, hurry up and finish the podcast so Bobby can get back home so we can play more Heroes of the Storm.
What hero did you play in Dota, by the way? Because I played Sven on the one time that I played.
Sven?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I played the beginner one, and Sven was one of the
beginners. That was supposed to be Bobby's real name, like his new name.
Oh, that's right.
Looks like a Sven.
Yeah.
I played, according to the statistics, this is the most played character, but I played Pudge. And yet you don't see him in...
No, he's not competitive.
Yeah, not at all. But he is one of the most played characters. And he's got a very common kit you see in a lot of other MOBAs, where he has a hook that he throws out and can drag people to him.
I'm assuming he's a fat guy?
Yeah.
So I just always cosplay him, regardless whether or not I'm trying.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I did play just a couple, an hour or two of another game, Puzzle Quest, from Bobby's list.
Which is super old, man. Puzzle Quest is like 10 years old.
So
it's a good game.
There is a Match 3 RPG game that I wanted to play, but I started playing this and realized this is not the one that I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
It was.
This is really dated.
Yeah.
And I've never, I think it was intentionally, I mean, it was originally for the, for mobile.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, the resolution doesn't look quite right.
Yeah. I had fun for an hour, but I was like, okay, this game's, it's a long fucking thing. The guy has like 56 hit points and you're doing 3 damage every time you can get skulls together. And you can barely get skulls together. I was doing fights that were taking like me like 30 minutes to get through this fight just because there was not enough skulls to...
Well, you get spells, too.
Yeah, but I was a druid. All my spells were like heal spells.
Dude, you want to talk about a long fight? I want to see if anyone else has this experience, but Divinity Original Sin, there's a character who's like a big tree, I believe.
Yeah.
And that fight... I played it by myself. Took me about 45 minutes. Then Emilio and I played it. Same thing. Took 45 minutes. I thought I was doing it wrong.
We were over an hour, dude.
Okay, yeah. Because
we didn't have the mage.
But this guy does no damage, but he just doesn't take any damage.
And he runs.
Yeah, and he keeps running. And he lays down ice, and you slip on the ice as you chase.
He's pretty much the paladin that he used to play in Warsaw Gulch.
Fucking troll again.
Wow.
Yeah, long fights suck.
So that's literally all the games that we.
I think we're and that's the wrap.
That was
and on that bombshell.
Well, you know,
good night, everybody.
You know what though? Like I've been really busy this week. Like I've had a whole bunch of work piled on me, and I'm addicted to Heroes of the Storm. But even you know what took priority over both of those was this fucking Dota 2 tournament.
Yeah,
I was watching that all fucking day, every day.
That it was insane. It was like 8 hours a day, wasn't it?
It was 8 hours, but it was it's in the final match is best out of 5. So, I mean, that went from like noon to 6 or some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I've been prioritizing that over everything. I've been watching so much Dota 2 that I just haven't been playing as much.
Did you watch the beginner stream at all?
No, I didn't.
The regular one?
I should have checked out the beginner stream just to see the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's still a lot I don't know about that game.
So fucking smart.
Man. I think that is a really cool idea.
UFC should do that as well.
They really should.
Because Rogan's just always explaining the moves. It's like the fans know already.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of sports should do that, especially football.
Yeah, football needs a beginner stream. Yeah. Like, you have people that don't know football and they are just lost when they watch football.
Yeah, well, everything's so tight in football that it's really easy to lose track of what's happening.
AKA football for girls.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
But like in baseball, everything's so much spread out, like you can kind of understand things and see things a little bit better. But in football, like I don't follow it that much, but I've always had trouble just watching it just because I don't know who has the ball sometimes.
Yeah, the formations, like I'm completely lost.
Or when there's a foul, like people see that before
it's called a penalty.
Or a penalty, okay. But I watch that with people and they call it even before the flag goes up. And I'm like, how the fuck do you even know that?
Yeah. It's like anything
else. You calling
it
a foul was a foul.
It's like anything else. You just need experience.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some news.
All right. So we talked about Dota getting a 24-player map.
Yeah, we already
We talked about Overwatch entering beta in the fall. Excited for that.
There was the one thing that was we didn't mention about Dota was there was another DDoS attack.
Right. Yeah.
I was talking to my buddies at work. Why do they not just set up a...
By the way, that's a hack. Somebody was trying to hack them and taking them down. Basically.
You say hack. No, there's... A DDoS is distributed denial of service. They're sending a bunch of packets towards there to kind of crash the servers so it's unplayable. So, like, during the Evil Geniuses game, there was a ton of lag and they kept pausing the game and they ended up taking, like, an hour break and then they came back and continued it. I mean, it was a minor inconvenience, I'd say. It wasn't like it brought this thing down, but...
What I don't understand, 18 million prize pool. Why can't you set up a private server that's not connected to the internet and run the 10 stations that are right in front of you in a private network?
It probably has something to do with the original architecture of the thing. It's meant to be played online.
Yeah, I think it has to connect to Steam or something, because I could see their Steam
profile. You literally could set... This is Valve we're talking about. Yeah. Like,
they know what they're doing.
Once a year, this happened last year too. Why did they... I don't understand. This makes no sense to me. Yeah. Like, explain probably to me why they can't just set up a private server to set it up. You've got another year to work on it. Create a mode that you can go private server exclusively for the international. You've got literally millions of people watching this and millions of dollars. Like, it boggles my mind.
So first of all, I'm going to need you to calm down.
Sorry. Okay.
I'll get Valve on the phone right now to explain.
You listening, Valve? Valve and Blizzard.
We want answers.
Yeah. You know, Bobby called it. It was a minor inconvenience.
It's not an hour. Right. It's an hour. Yeah. How many people are sitting there going to wait for an hour? How many people would be sitting there watching for a sporting event?
He did.
Well, I when I heard it was back on, then I jumped back on.
Right.
Well, this happened earlier in the tournament, like in the earlier matches. Maybe they did do something later because it didn't happen during the grand finals, and I didn't notice it like any other time other than that first Evil Geniuses versus Complexity game.
Were there ads during the whole
thing? No
ads at all.
No.
Man.
I don't think so. None. Like,
fuck, that's Super Bowl money.
And I think it's all live too, right? Like they do the stream live because there was, I don't know if you were watching it this time, but like during the matches, they'll go around and they'll go to, what do they call it, the shop or the, they have a place where you can buy like artwork and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they interview the people who make this stuff.
The secret shop?
Yeah, the secret shop.
Yeah.
And they were interviewing this artist there, and he was talking about the stuff that he was doing and the stuff that he was drawing. And one of them, he said, like, oh, yeah, they changed the name on this. I can't remember what it was. It's like, and it was some weird, like, elven name. So he just kind of like, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and the announcer said something, or Casey, the lady who kind of hosts it a little bit. But she was like, oh, that sounds like some weird spell. And he's like, ah, yeah, hell, Satan. And immediately the thing cut, like went to offline. Like, I think they tried to pull the plug because the guy said, hail Satan. And of course the chat blew up. And then like 5 minutes later, they're back on and they're talking to some other guy. So
that's funny.
I was like, I'm surprised more shit doesn't happen like this live.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else we got in the news?
Bethesda came out and said, don't expect a Elder Scrolls game for a very long time. So, no sequel to Skyrim for a long time, I think, because it's just everything's going into Fallout 4, and I'm all good with that. I prefer.
Did Bethesda do Elder Scrolls Online?
They gave it to ZeniMax.
ZeniMax. Okay.
And that's why it sucked.
But you know what? I think that's just fine that they aren't coming out with one for a long time because, I mean, Skyrim has such longevity.
Yeah.
It's been around forever. It's got a huge modding community.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, it's almost like WoW, where it's just, you know, they're constantly patching and updating and, well, not official patches and updated, but they're constantly adding new stuff that, do you really even need a new version at this point?
No. Well, you have Fallout now, right? Which is the same game with guns, basically. Mm-hmm. No dragons, more guns. That's the difference. And I prefer the Fallout series. I prefer post-apocalyptic versus fantasy.
I'm not excited about Fallout at all.
You can go fuck yourself. and then you have all the modding off of that. I just think everything they have is going into the Fallout 4. So I'm not disappointed. I'm actually pretty happy about this.
Yeah, it seems like a good call.
Yeah, for sure. So, shit, fuck. This is going to be the shortest podcast ever, I guess.
What's next week looking like for you guys? Are you going to be, any games you got your eye on?
I'm going to play some Black Mesa.
I'll probably play Black Mesa as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Lisa's still sitting there. I really want to play Lisa. Darkest Dungeon now has a new class, the Houndmaster. Sounds awesome, a pet class. I'm a sucker for pet classes, so.
Ooh.
I assume he has a pet.
Maybe we got some interviews lined up.
Oh, we have some interviews, yeah.
Don't announce anything, yeah, but we might have
some stuff in the works.
Yeah, we got some stuff in the works.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about that.
Right on. Well,
yeah,
it would have been great to add it to this fucking short-ass podcast. Yeah.
There was a couple games on Bobby's list that I've downloaded prepping to play that I just haven't gotten around to. So
nice.
I might play some oldies but goodies, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, what was the one last week that you told me to play?
I'm trying to remember. What was it?
I try to play Ziggurat, but you're fucking always playing.
Well, you got
to
tell me. I can turn off the Idle Master. But yeah, Ziggurat, definitely recommend.
Yeah.
That new game, The Swindle, looks pretty cool. I might pick that up. It's on sale for like $13.
Yeah, the biggest problem with that game is not Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, that is a downside.
On the positive, it's a good game and it's on sale. The downside, it's not Heroes of the Storm.
We'll see if that happens. But actually, all this TF2 talk has really got me wanting to play Team Fortress 2.
Oh, I mean, you got to play it, man. Yeah. You
I love that game. It's one of my favorite games.
It's $6.
You go back. I could go back just to play that game. I go back and play that game when other people like go back to play it because
the new maps are sweet, man. Really, I like all three of them.
I'm glad they got some more like official Valve new maps. I mean, the player created ones are great, but Valve just they make the best ones.
Yeah, do you remember when the achievements originally came out? They made the achievement servers, and you could go and fuck around.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
But to my knowledge, you need to get all your contracts done on Valve servers. There's plenty of them. There's lots and lots of Valve servers. So, and I prefer the Valve servers. They don't fuck with the rules. They don't have fucking balloons coming out of people's heads and stupid shit like that. Yeah. So I prefer them.
Not all that random shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's always a great game to play with listeners too. We've done that several times in the past. Although I wish there was an easier way to get everyone on one team. That's always the problem we run into.
Yeah.
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 You got to scrimp, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Never but either way, it's a fun game.
I played a little bit of. I didn't mention it, but I played with some listeners. I played Rocket League. It continues to be fucking like edge of your seat of excitement. Like it's such. It is the core of video gaming. It's just fun.
Just pure fun, just right?
Well, what do you guys think about like some people wanting to see this become an esport? I mean, do you think that kind of game could be an esport?
I think it could. I don't think it would have the following that
the other ones. Why, you're right. I feel that you're right, but I don't know why.
It doesn't seem like something. I can't explain quite why, but it doesn't seem like something that I would watch and be that invested in.
Watching pro people is really.
You could see some cool plays, like we had some like oh wow plays, and that was just us fucking around. Yeah, like the pro players would probably.
I've been playing in Rocket League. I've been playing a lot of 4v4, and that's just kind of a screw around mode. I mean, that's just like a free for all. You know, I found that the less players you have, the more you have to worry about positioning and guarding your goal. And
play 1-on-1 ranked usually, unless somebody's around.
1-on-1 ranked, wow.
Yeah. I think it's fun.
Really?
Yeah. It's fun.
1v1?
Yeah.
It's just two people humping a ball?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's 1v1's interesting. Ball. I played a little 1v1, and it is, it's a different game almost.
Yeah, it's like a Street Fighter match. Just you versus them, you know?
Wow.
All right, well, fucking unspectacular small titties, I guess. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Titties, okay.
Titties.